Oh, how we'd love to worship him with a hymn of praise. Grace, peace, and mercy from God our Father and his precious Son, Jesus Christ. We're glad you are back with us today. And we're going to finish up Colossians chapter 4. So if you open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. In this letter, Paul was teaching the Colossians how we are to carry ourselves as Christians, as the people of God, whether we are an employee or employer, whether a parent or child, a student or teacher. In order to be successful, we must be established in the faith, rooted and grounded and built up in the Word of God. We must be blameless before him by being buried with him in baptism, risen with him in the newness of life, rested in our status in Christ, and exercise our faith with kindness and mercy. We do this by having the character of God in us. As long as we continue in these things, we will not be unfruitful or barren. Peter reminds us to add to our knowledge temperance, and to that patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness and charity. For these are the things in us that prevent us from being barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we continue and practice them, God's peace will calm every agitated disorder in our soul. Now, let's look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." Paul reminds them what to do as masters. Just like today, those who are employers, both are charged and should know. God who is in heaven is not a respecter of person. Remember, whether master or employer, he is talking about the ones who are in Christ. A non-believer does not abide or take heed to what is written in God's word. Verse 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." We must always pray. The Bible teaches us to pray without ceasing. We should always watch, whether at work or at home, regardless of where we may be. Keep your heart in a praying frame of mind and keep your eyes open to what is around you. Ephesians says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watch with all perseverance and supplications for saints." Praying in the Spirit is to pray according to the Word. You pray to give a reason of the hope that is in you. If you are not in the Word, you will not have a treasure full of life to talk to the Father God. You can't stir up what is not there. Verse 3 says, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." No prayer can be too much to strengthen the hands and encourage the hearts of them that minister to Christ. It is good and appropriate to pray for and with someone. Paul was asking them to pray for the hearts of the ministers of Christ. We should do the same for those that labor in the gospel for us today. We do this because we don't want to be tossed around to and fro. We need to pray for those that teach us because we don't want them to be tossed around either. Paul says to Thessalonians, "Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified." Verse 4 says, "That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Pray that there is no obstruction. Another reason to pray for those that minister to you is so they will make the mysteries of God plain when presenting them, and it is without interruption or distraction. In all thy getting, you want to get understanding. If there is no understanding, you can't walk in it. This brings us to the next verse. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. It didn't say walk in knowledge, and it didn't say walk in understanding, but walk in wisdom. When you walk in wisdom, you have both the knowledge and understanding of how to walk. We must be careful where we walk, how we walk, and who we walk with. This is what Paul said to the Thessalonians. Walk honest towards them that do not know the Lord, and walk right toward those that are religious in the Lord. If they do not know the Lord, you be a light and an example. If they say they are a Christian but act like the world, you be the light and example before them. The only Jesus some may see is the Jesus that is in you. Mm-hmm. It is our duty as God's children to do and say what's right in the presence of family, friends, co-workers, babes in Christ, and the carnal Christian, even our enemies. Paul said, do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. Mm-hmm. Verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. The direction here is for all Christians. We must govern our tongue to have well order of our speech. What we say should not only be without bad words, but our words also should not be vain. Make sure they are profitable and uplifting. Make sure we do not offend the weak, who are not as seasoned as we are. Make sure our speech is not rude so it hurts. Even when you are right, the presentation or the way you say it could make everything you say seem wrong. Paul said, herein do I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense towards God and man. There is a lot of thinking or a lot to think about when you are ministering to others. When you speak, speak as an ambassador of Christ. God has entrusted you with his word. When we speak his word, we have the ability to speak life or death. Remember what it said in Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our tongue can be a tool to heal or a tool to destroy. James 3:2 tells us, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. And out of the same mouth proceed the blessings and cursings. It says, my brethren, these things are not so to be. Bear with me with these names in these next few verses. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. This brother was faithful to Paul in the ministry. It has been said, Paul being in prison had few friends. You may find when you begin to stand for the gospel and the truth, your friends will become less and few. It says in verse 8, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. This brother knew the business of Paul, and Paul sent him that he might comfort their hearts with the good news. The next verse confirms this. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Onesimus and Tychicus were sent to the Colossians, And they both were encouraged them comfort they and they both were to encourage you, comfort you as they got their affairs in order. Remember, Paul at this time was in prison. Today and right now, you may be locked down in flesh in some kind of a way, but don't let anything lock you down in your spiritual mind. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister, son of Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Paul shares with them, there are others that know the truth and has loved God also. When you encounter them, receive them. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Paul is giving honor where honor is due. Here are three companions of Paul: Aristarchus, Marcus, and Jesus, known as Justice. This Marcus, though he deserted Paul and Barnabas and did not work with them for a time, he returned to his duty, and Paul recommended him to the church. In fact, in Timothy, Paul says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for the ministry. There may be someone that has walked away, but if they return, receive and restore them in love. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras was a citizen of the Colossians. By his office, he was a servant of Christ, or a minister of the gospel, and he prayed for them fervently. There are many offices and positions and people in the body of Christ, and we all are one in the same body. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. These were two cities here near each other. Laodicea was the capital. History has it, these cities were destroyed by an earthquake. Have we noticed all the changes and things that are happening in California and now earthquakes in New York? The wickedness in California is almost as bad as it is in Vegas. The crime in New York and Chicago is off the chart. And Detroit is not far behind, even though they say crime is down. It's not the Democrats' fault, nor is it the Republican fault. It is the wickedness of man that has overtaken the world. To me, and this is my opinion, California and Vegas are become more and more like Sodom and Gomorrah. This shows us even how things are coming to pass. Look at verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Luke, who was a physician for the body, became a physician for the soul, just like Matthew was a publican or tax collector and became a preacher for the gospel. This shows us whatever we start out to be in the world, God has something better for us in his kingdom. David said, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. If something was to happen suddenly right now, we really don't even know how we would act. That is why we should stay prayed up, stay in the word, continue in the fellowship, and stand fast in the things we have been taught in God. Verse 15 says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis, and the church which is in his house. Nymphis, who was in Laodicea, gave his house to be a place of worship to the church, just like Aquila and Priscilla. Verse 16 says, and when this when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. It is believed that Archippus became slack in his duty, and Paul admonished them to speak to him, encourage him, exhort him, just as we should do for one another, especially when you see them becoming slack. Even to those that have become slack in their responsibility or slack in coming, show them that you care and they are missed. Call them, talk to them, encourage them. This is what we should be doing for one another. Just as Paul could not reach everyone from prison, many times the pastor cannot reach everyone either. There are things others will tell you that they are afraid to share with the pastor or the pastor's wife. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Paul is seeking or saying to them, pray for him in his bonds or afflictions. Receive the word that has been written and given by those he has sent. Prepare yourselves for suffering and persecution. Get yourselves ready spiritually, physically, emotionally, and mentally. Get ready for what is about to come. Anything worth having comes with a price. To God, we were worth having, and the price was the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. To us, Jesus is our redemption. He is our salvation. He is our eternal life. And he is worthy having, and he is worth having. What do we think it will cost? Are you friends more important than Jesus? Is money more important? What are you willing to give up for the peace of mind? I say, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? With that, my time is up, and I thank you for yours.